It's lovely to be together. You're all very, very welcome. Apologies, you've probably heard by now from Dawn, who's not very well. So our wonderful Joe has stepped up to the mark and is taking the service. We are absolutely so blessed to have her music and her ministry.
You haven't heard me yet.
Thanks, Joe. Just a few notices to a reminder that there is a circuit meeting on Tuesday at Ebenezer at 7:30. So if you're involved in that, please turn up. Thursday is our Bible study. And really, anybody is very welcome to come and join us. We had a really, really good discussion on Thursday. Nola is leading us, and we're looking at the Gospel of John. And as usual, Nola has all the information at her fingertips, and you always, always learn something from her. It's ever so good. So anybody would be welcome to come along and join us. Next Sunday, here we have Richard. Didn't they just choose the right time to go away and bask in 90 degrees of sunshine, and we're all freezing here in Jersey? And I'm not sure who's at Bethlehem next week. Okay, so it's Karen next week at Bethlehem. I forgot to do birthdays last week. So, do we have any birthdays this week? Okay. Well, if it was your birthday last week, happy birthday, and I'm really sorry we missed you. Okay, and I'll now hand over to Jo to start our worship.
Thank you. Well, yes, we keep Dawn in our prayers, as she is in pain today, so we will remember in our prayers. And it's going to be a different kind of service. It's going to be informal, but and what Chris didn't tell you is that you're going to take part in it too. So I'm not going to do it all by myself. I didn't, did I? I know. So yes, we're going to go through this next hour together. So let's quieten ourselves before God. Let's come before him in worship and in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can indeed be here this morning to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, to come to praise your name, to worship you. And we thank you for this precious time. In Jesus' name, amen. So shall we stand as we... Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the many ways that you move amongst us, for the ways that you shine your glory into our lives, and for the ways that your presence blesses us beyond anything that we could ever imagine. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness and your love. And we give praise and honour to you today. We thank you that we can come before you, that we can lay aside those things that occupy our thoughts and our hearts and our minds, and we can come and worship you. We can focus our eyes on you alone. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I believe Pauline is going to bring our reading to us today. Is that right? Thank you.
The reading is taken from Luke chapter 17, 11 to 19. 10 healed of leprosy. Now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus travelled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, we're going to sing again.
This is putting me out of my comfort zone. I don't normally stand up here. I'm normally behind the hiding behind that music stand. But anyway, as I say, we're in it together. So, that story is very familiar to us, isn't it? We've heard that story many, many times, I'm sure. And just going to pick up some points, and then we're going to do some discussion together that Dawn wanted us to do. But some of the points I'm going to pick up is that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem when he encountered those the lepers. So he was, as Pauline said, he was walking on the border between Samaria and Galilee. And actually he was on the way to the cross. And I thought, oh, that's quite interesting actually, isn't it? That, he must have been preoccupied with many thoughts, many things going through his mind, everything that had gone on before that, knowing that actually he was going to be put to suffering. And yet still he took time to, he made time for these 10 people that approached him and was willing to do that for them, even though he must have been thinking, okay, God, Heavenly Father, I know what's before me, and I need to take this cup of suffering, everything that's to come. He still took time for those people and was interested in them and valued them. So he was able to look beyond his own horror to give hope to the lepers who approached him. And we know that leprosy is a horrendous disease. I mean, thankfully, there are cures for it now, but in those days, there weren't. And it's very contagious. And those who were diagnosed with it were quarantined and isolated from society. So they didn't get to, interact with people, a bit like COVID. They were isolated, and we all know those feelings, and we only had it for a short time. Can you imagine if you had that for all of your life or all of your adult life, what that must have been like to suffer with that, not only physical, horrible disease, but everything that comes from that mentally and socially and emotionally. So it must have been a terrible disease to live with. And also the Jewish law required that they shout, "Unclean, unclean," and they rang a bell, didn't they, so that people knew that they were coming. So they must have been really sort of repulsed. People in society must have been repulsed by them. And that's a horrible place to be, isn't it? To feel like people hate you and don't want you in anywhere near them. That's such a terrible way to have lived. And so Jesus, he heard the lepers crying out, and he was moved with compassion. And he said, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." So he didn't heal them. He didn't touch them. They didn't physically, we don't actually know, but he basically told them to go and show themselves to the priest that they would be healed. So actually they had to take that element of faith on board themselves. And what we don't know is, were they healed on their journey to the priests? Did they appear before the priests and then they were healed miraculously in front of the priest? We don't know. These are all things that aren't written. But what we do know is that they had to take, they had to believe the words of Jesus, that they were healed. And maybe they had prayed all of their lives and wished that, shouted at God, "Why have you made me like this? Or why have I got this disease?" We don't know what was going on in their minds, but what we do know is that they had to really, really stand firm and believe Jesus's words at that moment, in that time, that when they went to their priests, they would be healed. I don't know about you, but I think I'd find that really difficult, if you'd lived with that disease for such a long time. But they knew Maybe they knew of the fame of Jesus. They knew that he'd healed before. And they believed his words, believed what came out of his mouth 100%. And so they knew that with the power that came with Jesus' words, they knew that they would indeed find healing in that. So I think that's quite amazing, really, isn't it? I wonder if we would have that same faith to do what they did. So obviously, the story here continues beyond that. And amazing things have already happened. Jesus healed 10 people from an incurable disease. And still, there's more to know about this story, this parable. And it is that 9 of them went on and just carried on with their lives. They must have been thankful. They must have been overjoyed, I'm sure. But what they didn't do is to come back and give thanks to God and to come back and give thanks to Jesus. And only one came back, and that was a Samaritan. Somebody almost equally, you know, sort of hated and repulsed. So he had a double thing going on there. Not only did he have this horrible disease, but also he was like from the least of the least, really. The Jews were not allowed to have contact with any Samaritans. And so he was the only one that went back to Jesus and said thank you. The outcast, the foreigner, the one that didn't belong, times two on all of those things because of the leprosy and the fact that he was a Samaritan. And yet he went back. And that's an amazing thing. And I do think, you know, he must have sung a song like that we just sang, you know, I will sing your praises. I mean, he must have been hop, skipping and jumping all the way, I reckon. Yes. As I say, we know the story. So that's just pulling a little bit of the emotions that must have gone around that. Because, you know, we can read these stories, but actually we need to delve a little bit deeper and think, okay, well, how were people feeling and what were they doing and what did they say and what did they do afterwards, you know? So, as I say, you're going to be doing a little bit in the service now. So, 10 lepers shouting for healing, and when they receive this gift, only one returns shouting God's praise. But there is a twist in this tale. The healed person, the one who comes back to praise and thank God, is a Samaritan, a foreigner, a social outcast, and he didn't belong. So there are many things that we can draw from this story, but one thing that grabbed me, Dawn, was the gratitude of the Samaritan. What a joy for the one that came back and praised God and thanked Jesus. So we're just going to take a little time, just a couple of minutes, with those around you or behind you, in front of you, to maybe, if you're able, to share a time maybe when you had a situation in your life and recognised the work of God and turned to him in thanksgiving. So doesn't matter if it's just something small. It doesn't have to be something so huge as, you know, healing of leprosy, but just something in your life where you thought, thank you, God, that this happened, and I thank you. So maybe just next to you, as I say, or in front of you, if you're able to turn. If not, just somebody around closest. So just a couple of minutes. Thank you. Lovely to hear the chatter. That means that God's been doing amazing things. I wonder if anybody has got anything that they'd like to share, if you'd like to, that you've been talking about, a story that you'd like to share with us. Yes, please do, yeah. Thank you, Enid. Well, that leads nicely on to our next thing that we're going to consider. So, obviously, we know that 9 lepers didn't go back to thank Jesus. You know, did their minds immediately turn to other needs or newer preoccupations? Did they just move on with their lives now that they were cured of leprosy and started worrying about something else? Or did they remember how it was when they always had to keep a distance from people and couldn't engage with people? And, you know, whatever their reasons were that they didn't go back to Jesus to say thank you. So we're just going to take some time now individually, just while some music plays. Think of times maybe when we've failed to notice God at work in our lives. Maybe there's been times when we were so relieved of an outcome that actually we moved on, relieved and thankful of the outcome, but we didn't actually take time to acknowledge and thank God for what happened in that moment. So just while some quiet music plays, in our own hearts, we'll think about that and yeah. At times when we've failed to notice you, when we've failed to say thank you to you for things that you have done in our lives, for times when we have taken for granted the many blessings that we have. So, Father, we place those moments at the foot of your cross. We say sorry. We ask for your forgiveness, Lord. And we know that you are true to your word. You do indeed forgive us and wipe that slate clean. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Is ordinary, and we can know that God's hand and God's heart is in each and every moment of each and every new day. One day Jesus healed 10 lepers. Of them, 9 went away and as commanded to show themselves to the priests and to return to their normal lives. But one of them, the Samaritan, turned and gave thanks to Jesus. He was made whole. He was saved on account of his faith. And when we see the wonder of the smallest parts of our existence, the wonder of the smallest part of creation, it is then that we can begin to really live. It is then that we know what it's like with the 10 lepers to be saved. And real gratitude is knowing that this is the day that the Lord alone has made, and we should rejoice and be glad in it. Our faith, our Christian journeys are not about how to live a normal life. It is about how God touches us and how Christ embraces us, and that we should thank him and live for him. And so we're just going to spend a few moments in our groups again, giving thanks for the opportunities that you've had to serve him. Maybe think especially of surprising times when you weren't expecting it, or the unexpected times, and the God incidences. Maybe something, we all know about those God incidences, don't we? When you think, oh my gosh, that would have never have happened, but God must have been in this. So let's maybe talk about those things. So thanks for the opportunities that you've had to serve him, especially the surprising and the unexpected times and the God incidences that you might have encountered. So we'll just spend a few moments talking about that in our groups, if that's okay. Thank you. That they would like to share? I've got a little story. So, 2 appointments ago, we were living in Braintree in Essex, and we weren't expecting to move. We weren't planning to, but something, a position came up, an appointment came up, and we didn't know whether it was right or not. This new appointment was only about 20 miles away, but it was in a different district, so completely different, and then obviously, you know, a different move. And we didn't know whether it was right or not. We went back and forth, pros and cons, all praying, you know, yes, it'll be good, no, it won't, shall we go, no, we won't. And we were driving to the supermarket one morning, and my husband, who listens to Radio 4, I don't, but I know you're surprised at that, but we listened to the morning service, and the person on that was talking about being paralysed by decision making, and like I'd never heard that vocalised before, but we were paralysed. We just didn't know what to do. And so they talked about the fact that, you know, God is with you in that moment, in that decision-making, and to trust in him. Okay, so we're like blubbing, walking into the supermarket, looking a complete mess. But anyway, and then sort of maybe a week or two later, I was visiting my mum, and the TV was on in the background, and it was sort of like a travel programme within the UK. And this lady was going on some train journeys, and she got on this train, and I was like, oh, that's just up the road from us. It literally was. It was, you know, about 5 miles from Braintree, 10 miles. And she says, yes, we're going on a journey, on a train journey, but it's not a very long journey. And I was like, So this was like, you know, my ears were automatically open like Braintree to Haver Hills, not very far. Anyway, so she says, yes, we're going to go on a journey. It's going to be great, but it's not a very long journey, so we have to enjoy it while we can. And she got on the train and talked about that, you know, everything. Then the doors closed and the shop panned round, and on the front of the train, it said Haver Hill. It's like, okay, God, we think that that might be a sign. And it was. You know, we weren't going far, and that train wasn't going far. But, you know, I didn't need to be at my mum's house watching that programme, but just God brought everything together in that. So he can speak in the small things and the big and the unexpected places, can't he? So, yes, that was like, whoo. That was a really amazing time. So we did go, and it was amazing. And now we're here, and this is amazing too. So we've got lots to give thanks to God for, haven't we, today? So we're going to do that as we worship together in song and prayer, as we think of the needs of others. And this will be an open time of prayer. So please do join in if you feel able. And so we bring all our prayers together as we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, we come to our last song.